Blog Talk Radio.
And hey, let us ransom people for all time. From every tribe and language, people, every nation. Where warriors have fallen, there's a resurrection coming.
It is your time to rise and shine.
Oh, wake up, you sleeping giant.
The wounds of injustice are being healed by the peace.
Oh, yeah,
we're
bringing us power through unity. Where warriors have fallen, there's a resurrection coming.
Capital unity, and we want to break it down with several audios to help you not only understand your role in bringing about social capital, developing social capital, understanding all of this social capital knowledge experience wide, so that we can build a more peaceful society, a healthier society. When we look around the world at what's happening, there's a lot of confusion, There's a lot of sickness, disease, problems. So we're going to tonight help you develop some tools to think about and work on your social capital so that you and your community, starts in your community. In fact, it starts in your family first to develop social capital and branching out from there into your community. And so that's what our topic is, and I hope you'll call in if you have any questions. Let's see what happened to my, I don't know what happened to my banner. Oops, my banner disappeared. Okay, that's what happens in this power of social capital. There we are. Okay, ticker there, powers, and there's the phone number, 215-383-5863. If you have a comment or a question, I know I'm going to have some experts in the studio tonight to share their experience about social capital, because I have a strong social capital network. I, as many of you may know, if you've been following me on Facebook, I just returned from a week long, actually 8 days in Costa Rica, a Central America community called Nosara Wellness, Nosara Springs Wellness Center. I had a wonderful, wonderful time with a very dear friend and her son who owns some property, who are developing this beautiful retreat center for people to leave the Estados Unidos or Europe or anywhere in the world and go to and fly into Central America to have some fun in the sun, some health in the sun. I did not see one chemtrail in while I was in Costa Rica. So that was a sign to me of the blue zone activity in Costa Rica, that we have a really amazing place that we can go to enjoy blue skies. And there, oh, I'm sure there are lots of places on the planet, but I have the privilege, the honor, the opportunity to share my experience with you in this one beautiful location that I enjoy much rest, much activity, and developed courage. I developed a lot of courage because most people are not driving regular cars in Costa Rica because the roads are so undeveloped. Talk about infrastructure. No, hardly little infrastructure in terms of the roads. Now, they're building like crazy the most beautiful houses, Costa Rica. And I got to experience and see with my own eyes the development of amazing houses, and also to see with my own eyes a very amazing yoga center in the trees. They built this yoga center up in the trees, basically. So I got to see this. Why? Because I have strong social capital. I am not wealthy in terms of money or material possessions. I don't have a lot of that, but I have strong social capital. So we want you to develop that so that you can travel to places like Costa Rica and enjoy blue zone, blue skies, and so forth. So I have uploaded about three really, really good audios for you from YouTube University. That's where I spend a lot of my time educating myself. So that I can share with you information and knowledge from around the world. When you are on YouTube, you're experiencing people from around the world. That's a, one small thing you can do to develop your social capital is watch YouTube videos from people around the world, because social capital is about connecting to people and places around the world in your neighborhood so that you have a very diverse group that can assist your growth, if nothing else, assist your pleasure enjoyment when you need something. Oh, so many things we're going to get into about having social capital, good social capital connections. We want you to stay tuned for a really good show on what is social capital, what does it mean, and how you can develop it. Now, let's see. Before I go to my first audio. I have someone with their hand up. So let me see if that's someone who has an important comment. 312-721, your mic is open.
Oh, it's just me, Naima.
Oh, okay. Well, greetings, yes. Naima. I'm back. I'm on my phone. I'm not on Direct Connect, so let's hope. I had some Wi-Fi problems earlier, so hang in there.
I'm watching you on Facebook. You look pretty good. I didn't know if you were back from Costa Rica or still in the islands. But, you're looking great. Yeah. Want to make sure everything's okay. If you need me to do anything, just let me know. I'm here.
Thank you, my sister. Okay, so that's Naima Latif. She's in the Female Solution Studio. So you can either call in 515-605-9325, or you can call me here in the Soul Purpose Healing Studio, 215-383-5863. We want to hear from you tonight about what are you doing to develop your own social capital so you can travel all around the world at no cost. That's what I did, Costa Rica. I traveled to this beautiful place for a whole 8 days, and it didn't cost me one penny. How did I do that? Strong social capital. That's what. And I want you to have that opportunity wherever you are to just travel all over the world and not have to pay one penny. That is a blessing from heaven. I've been blessed with the most beautiful people in my life, and I'm continuing every day. Just to give you an example, I met on the plane going to Costa Rica on JetBlue. There was a pastor by the name of Miguel sitting next to me. Now, I didn't get his phone number, but I have his books he wrote and his website, his Instagram. I connected with him on social media. So I know exactly who he is, where he is, and we had the most interesting conversations for 3 hours on the way to Costa Rica. That was social capital development in my viewpoint. That this man and I connected by sitting on the plane next to each other, and his family, his wife and child were sitting behind us. But I got to connect to someone who was very positive, very uplifting, very inspirational. He was had his Bible there. He was preaching a little mini sermon on the way to Costa Rica. And I had the greatest time. And this guy was from Dominican Republic background and I think Puerto Rican or something. Those are the type of people you want in your life that are uplifting, positive, inspirational, speaking the truth, excited about sharing his life in the Bible. So we had the greatest conversation. And then on the way back, I was sitting next to a man who went dirt biking in Costa Rica. And he was all bruised up and bloody, almost bloody, but scarred up because he had an accident on a dirt bike. And I was able to pray for him because he broke his toe while he was dirt bike. When he fell off his dirt bike, he broke a toe. He had a wound in his foot. We could see he was wearing flip-flops. And so I had a conversation with this man about his adventure of scuba diving and dirt biking in Costa Rica on another side of the island. Never saw him before. But the conversation we had was a prayer connection because this man was hurting so bad. He got off the plane. He could not even walk yet. They had to get him a wheelchair because of the wound he had experienced. And we connected just by my reaching out to him to pray for him because he was in serious pain. And he had to take a plane to Boston. That was the other thing. This man was on his, he stopped in Orlando, and then he was on his way to Boston. Great connection, energetic, spiritually. No social media connection, but spiritually there was a love connection for this man who was really in pain because of an accident he experienced while enjoying the blue sky of Costa Rica. This is social capital development. It's not like you have to get phone numbers websites and internet and Facebook and all that, but connecting spiritually to people like this, where you're praying for someone, this is the collective spiritual power that our Creator, that brings power. When we, every time we have an opportunity to meet someone and be blessed by them and you blessed in return, power. That's the power of that song that Becky Shea sings every time we start here on Sunday night. The power is in the unity that we are not hating on people, we're not judging people, we're not criticizing people, but we're connecting on this human level to bond our love for one another and love for our creator, love for this planet, love for this country, wherever you are in that moment. Embrace that moment to really bring the energy of unity. And that's how we're going to change this society, this confused society. So let us get into the first audio, which is just amazing. This woman shares some really valid, beautiful information about building relationships and associations and networks. And I just gave you two examples of my personal journey in 8 days, what I built, not just social media and website and all that, and book, the author, we're meeting the author, the reading, but also having a prayer for someone who's in pain. So this is the beginning of how we change this earth and our society. This is our purpose here on earth. For those of you who are conscious, we are called to connect to people in our lives in with every opportunity, whether it's on an airplane, in a grocery store, wherever we are connecting. This is so important in the year of 2023, to connect to people on a very loving, spiritual, enlightening, inspiring way, so that our Creator can give the increase and bring about the peace. No more war. How are we going to end all these stupid wars, Ukraine, Russia, all that? We connect. This is the power of social capital. We connect with every person we meet to bring about more love, more harmony, more unity. Then, boom, the Creator and all his angels and messengers work on our behalf because our mind is fixed on bringing unity, power, and love, and not hate and war and confusion. Stop coming out. We're coming out of the confusion. So let's listen. I've got three really good experts to share with you about how we do this. And that's what this, the focus of tonight. I'd love to have your feedback, your opinion. The focus of tonight, we're building power in our earth, in our community of social capital. And here is our first lesson.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a real serious problem. There was a study that was recently conducted by Gallup, and what the study said was that when individuals feel that they can't find people who think like them politically or any type of ideology, what they do is segregate themselves and isolate themselves from others. And that's a problem because in a time where there's increasingly more division, we really need each other more than ever before. And so I want to tell you a little bit about why proximity and why presence is so important in terms of building relationships. And I want to start with telling you my own personal story. So I grew up in Shreveport, Louisiana. For many people, I hear some folks who give love. Shreveport, for many of you in Dallas, would call it East Texas. The reality is that it is actually a part of the state of Louisiana. And Shreveport is a city that is more than 50% African American. The state of Louisiana is one of the highest. It's the second in the country with the largest African American population. And as a kid growing up, even though I saw all these people who looked like me, segregation was really apparent. There were certain parts of the community that I remember growing up in that you may not have wanted to go to at certain times because you didn't look like the community. And so I noticed for my family that the way that they dealt with that was through their own faith. And so I want to pull up this picture of my grandparents. My grandparents were amazing. You can tell they're gorgeous people too. And my grandfather fought for this country, and as a black man and fighting for freedom, couldn't really experience that freedom for himself. And so he ended up moving into a community called Cedar Grove with my grandmother. And my grandmother was one of the wisest people that I've ever known. She only went up to a sixth grade education. Loved Jerry Springer while she was alive, I must say that. But she was one of the most brilliant people that I ever knew. And what I learned from them was the impact of community, because they took me to church. And I saw them as my grandfather as a deacon and my grandmother in the choir. And church was a way where they were able to have a sense of freedom and community. But this was the thing that was so interesting. At church, I saw people who looked like me who were landscapers and teachers and folks who just wanted the best for their families. They had five children, my dad being the second oldest. And my dad and my mother is here today, my dad and my mother were high school sweethearts, and they went to college together, went to Paul Quinn College, which at that time was in Waco, Texas. And my dad graduated from Paul Quinn in 1970 as Mr. Paul Quinn College. My mother did not graduate from college and went back home to take care of her elderly mother. But my dad, upon graduating, had a degree in physical education, and he could not find a job that paid enough money to take care of his family. So instead, he decided to wait tables. So my dad met a man by the name of Abe Rittman, who was so known in Shreveport for having a restaurant called Abe's Seafood and Steakhouse. And Mr. Rittman not only gave my dad a job, he actually changed his trajectory. Mr. Rittman opened up the door to his restaurant but taught my dad how to open up his own business. And in the 80s, this 6'6" black man opened a restaurant that had a full bar, had a jazz band on weekends, and I got a chance in that space to see some amazing people come through. I saw athletes and actors and politicians and all these different people who didn't always look like me, who were coming to this space, who felt safe, who enjoyed great food around music and some adult beverages as well. I went to a high school that was called Cattle Magnet High School in Shreveport, and this is the thing that's so interesting. I mentioned to you that my city was more than 50% African American, but my high school was not. My high school was a place in which my graduating class, there were 269 of us who graduated, and a little over 70 of us were African American. In a community that was completely African American, but those students were bussed out so that we could come into their school, their former school, and be a part of this new pilot program of looking at magnet schools for students. And in that space, I got a chance to see folks who had enormous wealth. I had classmates who drove Jaguars, who drove Saabs, I'm not kidding, in ninth grade. I saw people who had homes behind their parents' homes that they lived in high school. And that opportunity exposed me to so many different ways of living and different experiences. And then I left and went to UT Arlington. UTA was such a different experience for me because there, not only did I just see black and white as I had experienced at home, my whole world changed. My roommate was very wealthy from Connecticut. My other roommate was from El Paso. I had all of these different experiences, and as you're noticing, there are these relationships that began to develop in my life that gave me great exposure and expanded my network. I then had the opportunity to work at the University Outreach Center in Dallas with an amazing Latina by the name of Michelle Bobadilla, who to this day is still a mentor and dear friend of mine. And Michelle saw me volunteering. I was teaching a diversity class on weekends, and in retrospect, they should have never allowed me to teach that class because those poor kids now are probably really messed up. But I thought I was teaching them something amazing, and Michelle Bobadilla was watching me. And she opened up the door for me at 21 years old to get an assistant director position with Texas A&M University and their outreach center here in Dallas, working with first-generation college students or potential college students. And that was another amazing experience. After a year, I left and moved to Oklahoma City because I realized I needed a little bit more education to pursue some things I wanted to do. And so at Oklahoma City, what was very interesting there was I was now not just a black female, I was American, because Oklahoma City University at that time recruited students who were from other countries heavily and a lot more than they did recruit American students. So in this space, I had folks who were becoming my friend because I could speak English. And it totally changed my trajectory of having friends who were from Iraq and from all these different places around the world. And then the culminating experience for me was going to India. And so I had a chance as a part of a documentary called Friendly Captivity, where seven of us from Dallas actually went to India to understand that as much as we thought folks were in captivity and had issues there, we had a lot more issues here than we realized. And what was amazing in that experience is that I had women who walked up to me and pulled up their sleeves and said, same, same. These women were Dalits, the untouchables, and they had an experience similar to what people of color all over the world have in dealing with colorism. And in that moment, I recognized that color is an issue that not just it happens here in the U.S., it is a global issue that we're wrestling with and still haven't been able to deal with and decipher. And all of those experiences have been so impactful on the woman that I became, because with each of those, you see this portrait that's been created, a web of relationships. And at that time, I didn't realize what I was building. I realized that I was building something called social capital. Social capital, I'll be very honest, my dissertation research is around this term. But my issue with it is that we have to be careful with thinking that relationships are only transactional, because they're not. Relationships can be that way, but we also have to begin to start thinking about relationships as being transformational. And so social capital is this big term that really means networks, associations, relationships. There is a guy in the early 1900s who saw some people talking. His name was Hannafin, and he coined the term and said, that's social capital. People are connecting and making relationships. And this is the thing about social capital. It's important, but it does not work unless there's trust. If we do not have trust, it is the glue to build our networks and our relationships. And so social capital is important because it impacts our education, it impacts our employment, our income, our opportunities. And so when you have people who are isolated and segregated based on their education, they're resharing the same information. And so we have to be very mindful about, there's nothing wrong with connecting to people that are like us. And one of the forms of social capital, which is called bonding. There's nothing wrong with connecting to people like us, but at some point we have to be very intentional about thinking about connecting to people that are different, not just by race, but by thought, by religion, by gender, by all those things that we consider as different. And so bridging social capital is when we do look at that and connecting to people that are different than we are. And then there's another type that's called identifying social capital, which basically is, I work at this job, I'm in accounting, you're over here in community affairs, and we kind of talk to each other and share some information, but we really don't, I mean linking, but we really don't know each other that well. We're just linked because of the situation that we're in. And then there's identifying social capital, which is folks who identify based on race, based on ideology. And again, I don't want to have you believe that there is one that's worse than the other. But the reality is that if we're not intentional and deliberate about building different types of social capital, you will continue to see polarization in this country, because we'll continue to connect to what's familiar and what's comfortable for us. And so there is this gentleman by the name of Robert Putnam, who I love his work. When he came to Dallas, I became a groupie of his, and I had never been an academic groupie, and that was the first time that ever happened. I love Putnam because in 2010, he wrote a book called Bowling Alone. And in his book, he says some things that are very impactful. He says that communities that have high social capital have higher educational outcomes. Communities that have high social capital, there's lower crime. Communities that have high social capital, people vote. They're civically engaged. Why? Because people feel connected and responsible to one another's outcome. But check this out. Social capital is important because it is about the connection that can help us live longer, that can help us fight disease. There is Blue Zone research that shows that when people who have been over 100 years old, one of the reasons that they have longevity in their lives is because of social connection. And so I want to talk about the role of two inmates, Mumia Abu-Jamal and Bernie Madoff. And what's so interesting is that in both of these men's life, social capital played a role in where they ended up. Mumia Abu-Jamal ended up in a state penitentiary because he did not have parental involvement. He was a teen parent. And Bernie Madoff's social capital allowed him to prey on his own community, and he still ended up in a posh federal prison. So my research on social capital looks at a couple of things. It's called From Bonding to Bridging. And what I did was I brought together a group of women who were from different backgrounds, educational experiences, ages, and I noticed several things when I brought them together. One, it's important that we own our power and our privilege and own that up front, because many of us have things that we may not have done but were given to us, and we need to own that. Number two, we need to understand that when we're in these wonderful small safe spaces, that perception transformation occurs, that we really begin to change the way that we think based on the experience of others. And then the other piece is there's this framework that was created by a group of feminists that's called relational cultural theory that says there are five good things to building relationships, and I'll name just a few, but they talk about mutual empathy, and they talk about respect for diversity and zest for life. We need to use those things as frameworks to help people connect better to each other. So why is this important? Because when we don't have proximity to one another, we begin to isolate ourselves and move away from one another. When we don't have presence, we don't show up. And one of the things I would challenge you to do is we have to have more opportunities for cognitive dissonance and disorienting dilemmas. We need these spaces where we're uncomfortable and we're wrestling with the differences when we're together. Instead of retreating, we need to run to these spaces of difference and begin to question, why does it make me uncomfortable? But the other thing that we have to begin to start doing is recognizing that in that uncomfortableness, that there can be two realities that exist at the same time. I often tell my daughter that you got to get out of this space of believing that it is either or, and begin to understand that it is both and that these multiple realities can exist. And just because someone has an experience very different than yours does not invalidate their experience. And so I want to leave you with this idea of a bridge. I love Oprah, and so hint, hint. And I went to, even though there was nothing under the chairs, I was getting excited, but I want to end with this. I went to her event, and someone made a comment about pictures of bridges. And what they said was, bridges are something that we don't pay attention to, because bridges support us. If you notice, there is support that holds the bridge up. If you notice, people are going to and fro on their journey. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to become bridges. We have to be willing to allow people to come to and fro in their life journey and be a part of our experiences. We have to be willing to be supportive of others. We have to be willing to be in proximity to people and show up even when it's uncomfortable. Thank you.
How did you like that speech? How did you like that information? I thought she was just right on target with our first introduction to social capital and its power. So we are at our half-hour mark, and it's 8:33. It's a very significant number for me. 8:33 is where I first landed in Earth when I was born. So it's 8:33. And I believe my executive producer, Naima Latif, is going to play some commercials. So your mic is open, Naima Latif. Thank you for being there and bringing us the messages we need to hear at 8:33. All right.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
We are back. Thank you for joining me this evening, March 5th, 2023. Today's my sister's birthday. She turned 70, born in 1953. Happy birthday, Yvette, my only blood sister. I love her dearly. And she went out to Red Lobster, Big Lobster Festival tonight. So I hope she had a wonderful time. Reaching 70 is a milestone when some of your friends have died in their 50s, 60s, and even our mother died at 66. So I think she and I are always celebrating even more when we realize that my mother died at 66, but she made it to 70. All right, go Yvette, go Yvette. Got a caller who pressed 1. I don't want to hold up any callers who press 1. So let's open up the mic for 708-829. Do you have a comment about the power of social capital? How is it working in your life? Or do you have any questions? Go ahead. Your mic's open.
Greetings, 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 my dear Sister Five. I'm just calling in. Yes, Brother Eddie from Chicago, giving us the numbers, and you called me. You called me before the break when you went out on 8:33. Well,
okay.
8 plus 3 plus 3 is 14.
Yeah.
And 1 plus 4 is 5, and I got 5 on it. And unbeknownst to you, the title of tonight's class comes to 86, 14, and the 5.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to come in on that because I was getting different things from even the link that you were playing. But to start off, as you said, dealing with the power of the social capital that we had, they come up to 5. You started off with, it started off with fellowship. Fellowship is 41. You were talking to another brother on this plane for 3 hours in fellowship, because the fellowship is only the interpretation. Interpretation is 59, 5 plus 9, 14 being the 5 again. And fellowship, 41 being the 5. It's all in love, as we talk about. Love is 14 to 5. That we're trying to bring this love that comes in peace in peace is 23, the five. The five is what we're being given if we see the guidance. Guidance is 32, the five. Some of us aren't getting the guidance because we're still in a state of not being obedient, because once we come back to obedience, being 32, everything starts to click. The teacher, 32, that we are talking about, we already are, if we're connected, because the teacher is wired. Wired is 23. Some people might call you weird. You just change the letters to wired around to weird, but it's still 23.
Wow.
And we are here to reveal. Reveal is 23. And what do we reveal? God's will. God's will is 32. And God's will is in all of us dealing with our will power, 32. The video mentioned she was dealing with the UTA. It's so many different acronyms because I had to look it up, because she didn't mention what that acronym meant, but it didn't make a difference because UTA comes up to 14.
Mm.
And this is why the old saying is that all are called, but few are chosen. All is five. And the few chosen is 23, the five. That's the change that we're going through when we understand that we are truly electromagnet, which is 59, and we resonate 32, the five, on what is true, 23, the five. We are the transmitters, and we are here, by the way, transmitter is 50, and we're here to support each other. Support is 32. And it's all in knowing oneself. Knowing is 23. So it's all connected to being that representative of wherever we stand behind these occult words of English, occult 23, English 32. It keeps us in 32 called confusion, a ball of confusion. I think the temptation said it best. But that, I close with this code being 14, because they call it the Jim Crow. And Crow is also 14. It's a code, baby. Every time things are being related, we have to see what's behind what's being basically constructed by God's will. And once we tap into that interpretation and start to share being 23, we get in the flow. Flow is 14. Ooh, it's all the five. And with that, I love you and keep on. I'm going to keep taking more words down that deal with the five that we're in. So I love you, family. Wow.
Love you, too. Thank you so. Thank us, United Spirits, United Souls coming together. This is social capital. And as Eddie pointed out, the numbers that are the language of the universe, this is what I'm hearing right now with Eddie bringing this very, very powerful message about the number five, the language of the universe says, okay, we're talking about all these words, title, fellowship, love, peace, guidance, obedience, teacher, God's will, confusion. And the universe is like on fire right now to bring unity, because the five is the light. The five is the fire tonight for us to understand what is going on in the cosmic order of things, which is a language called numbers. And wow. And even, when I was in Costa Rica, I heard a lot of Spanish, and I said, okay, I'm going to have to learn more Spanish. But even when you don't know the Spanish, every situation, you can translate what's being said, even if you don't know the language, if you're paying attention to hand signals. Because a lot of times when people are speaking and they don't speak Spanish or they don't speak English, they'll use their hands. So, again, it's about the connecting with people in fellowship and love to really understand, what is the message? What is the message that we've been given, we are being given? So I have another audio I'd like to play, and Eddie, you might have some numbers on this one. The foster care system came up in my search for information about social capital. And this young man, which I'm going to play the video on my Facebook page, this young man really goes into an analysis of foster care and how social capital, because foster care has been abused. And when I went to the Crow Nation, when I went to the Crow Nation in Montana, the reservation, there was a lot of corruption revealed to me about the foster care system being used to traffic young people. So when I saw this video tonight about social capital being part of the solution, I thought, oh, wow, I got to share this. So Eddie might have some numbers after we listen to this, but I just think it's just so powerful to hear a young man talk about his experience. He was a foster child, and now he's sharing what he learned and why foster care is so important to pay attention to the message of social capital in this way. So let's listen to this young man, Victor Sims, talk about how social capital can help foster children.
Please close your eyes. Imagine you're a child and you're in school. It's almost the end of the school day. You get called down to the front office. You go down to the front office and you see that oh so familiar face. It's your case manager. Your case manager tells you that you're not going to the place that you call home. You're now entering the foster care system. Along the ride, you ask questions like, what are their names? How old are they? Do they have any children? Do they have any animals? The case manager tells you that they'll arrange to get your stuff picked up from your home. You get to the home. The case manager knocks on the door. And as you're waiting, you ask questions like, is this it? How long will I be there? Will I be adopted? When will I see my parents? The person finally opens the door. They have hot baked cookies in their hand, and you grab one. The case manager introduces you to the family. You can now open your eyes. This happens again and again all over the United States. Every time that you think you found a forever home, you move. It's finally your 18th birthday. You've been in this group home for 6 months. You're told, we now have to open this bed up for someone who's under the age of 18. You burned your bridges with your case manager, your biological parent, and former foster care place. You have nowhere to go. This scenario is played all over the United States, that a young man or a young woman doesn't know who to call or where to go for help. They've lost contact with their biological parents, their case manager, and their former foster care placement. The youth finally realizes that all their support had come from the government. But I know that together we can create opportunities for youth to have access to mentors. This is not a simulation for a lot of people. There are approximately 500,000 children who are in the foster care system. And on average, 20,000 children will turn 18 while in foster care. This process is called aging out. When a child ages out of care, they have no social or family support. My friend Brian was one of those kids. Yes, the system considered him an adult when he turned 18. But let's be honest. still feel a kid in every way that matters. Brian was not like his luckier counterparts. He wasn't worried about planning for prom, planning to enter the workforce, or planning to graduate. But Brian was planning where he was going to eat next, where he was going to sleep next, and he was trying to make plans on how he was going to survive. Brian talked to me about nights where he slept underneath a car without a blanket. Brian talked to me about a night where he called his mom from outside of her apartment, heard her phone ringing, her answer it, and asked if he could sleep there, and she said she wasn't home. He told me about nights when he did not know where he was going to sleep, where he was going to eat, and where he was going to live next. Brian went through this for several years, not knowing how to get what he needed. But what if Brian had the ability to access a mentor? But what if Brian had social capital? Social capital is defined as a network of relationships among people that enable a person to function effectively. True social capital is when we find ways to help a youth change from getting by to getting ahead. There are programs like the Foster Club Permanency Pass, which provides a commitment between a young adult and an adult, like the Permanency Pass. It provides a safety net for the youth and a young adult to make a commitment on permanency and a long-term supportive relationship and expectations of that relationship. The program has helped people like Brian to realize who to go to and where to go for help, and people who've had similar experiences as him. There are programs like the Guardian Ad Litem. Guardian Ad Litem play a vital role in becoming active participants in the child's life, volunteering 1 to 2 hours a month to provide stability and mentorship to children who are in foster care. But what if we take it to the next level? What if we decide to get ahead of the curve and create roles within the child welfare system that focuses on mentorship and pairing children with a positive mentor before they become a part of another negative statistic? The only way that we can change our youth and care from getting by to getting ahead is by understanding that together we can create opportunities for youth to access social capital. Social capital is like a bank account. When a young person turns 18, they realize that they are actually facing a social deficit. They do not have family. They do not have their social worker. And they do not feel like they have anyone in their community. We together can build for our young people who are in care. We have to begin as soon as possible to start creating opportunities to deposit positive community support in the lives of our children in care. Thank you so much for your time. God bless.
Now, that video to me was just sad at first to hear that 500,000 children are in foster care. And yet, knowing as I do the purpose and the evolution that we're all here to experience, those children needed that experience. And it almost brings tears to my eyes to think about the suffering that goes on in that dynamics of foster care. And especially when I think back to my experience on the reservation in Crow in Montana, that these children are often lost in a child trafficking situation. But this young man had to go through foster care to bring this very powerful message about social capital. So in a way, it's all worth it, whatever he went through, that now he's waking people. He's using his experience to teach other people how things can be better. So I applaud him for that, and I'm so grateful that I found that video that just brought more enlightenment and information about this system that we don't sometimes think about. But he's bringing a solution, mentorship solution for foster care. And hopefully we can, instead of putting these kids in a system that is totally corrupt sometimes, that we can think more about mentors after listening to that message from that young man. So I'm going to open the mic to 336-350. That looks like Mama AZ. Are you there? Your mic is open.
Greetings. Dr. V, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Speak up. You're on the air.
How are you?
Great, thank you. How are you?
I'm grateful to just be on this side of the dirt. And that video, send it to me, please, because it says volumes. You never cease to amaze me. When I was, 26 or 27, I had a school, and my daughter decided to do something different. She was 10, 9 or 10, I can't remember, and DSS snatched her up from me. I don't want to get into it right now because it's a whole show, but not only on the reservation, but in Phoenix, Arizona, and even here in Sierra Vista, the DSS, in bed with the military all over the planet, but especially in Phoenix, Arizona, and here, big in child trafficking. I'm serious, and it really bothers me. If it hadn't been for my dad and my granddad, who was a Mason, 33rd degree, my daughter would have been sucked up in child trafficking, and it wasn't anything that I could do about it because they snatched her up from me. There's a lot of that going on, and it's still going on, and I need for the family, the audience, to know this, you know, it's very sad. Even though these young people need sometimes that experience, but a lot of them don't make it through. They end up dead, you see. So this is something that we must really talk about. A lot of people, you're fortunate to have the social capital that you have. A lot of times, a lot of us do not have that because we may be strange. We may be in a location, a Bible Belt location like one that I left in North Carolina and also Florida where you are in Jacksonville. A lot of that goes on. If you're not hooked up with being a Christian, it's getting better because of ones like you and Brother Harris and Brother Kwame and Dry Bones and all of that. It's getting a little bit better. But if you are not a down-to-the-bone, diehard Christian, and you're not connected to the 501(c), the churches and what have you, everybody's in bed with everybody, you know, and they want to keep the status quo. But I believe this year is going to be a year where the veil is getting thinner, thinner and thinner, very transparent, people, and you cannot hide. The Creator is going to find a way to unleash the light that shines where people can really see what's going on, you see.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot, Dr. V, and just send me that video, if you don't mind, of the young man, and thank you for allowing me. But I like to have more and more reasonings about social capital because not all of us are on the same page with jumping through hoops because a lot of us are different and we don't flow with the normal rhythm of how people want us to be. So that's my word for today, and I appreciate you allowing me to express this. So be careful, family. Pay attention. Social services, the military, and everything. There's a lot going on that you have no idea about, period. Thank us.
Thank us, United Spirits, united souls doing the work of our Creator to bring more harmony, peace, and love to this planet and end the wars. Every time I look at YouTube and see something about Ukraine and Russia and the United States, I believe I look at this as a big drama show. And the military-industrial complex is the star of the show. And as the more people wake up to what the hell is going on, this big show to make money off of war, and then the latest thing about Ukraine, a prime minister saying that American soldiers are going to have to come over there and die like they're Ukraine. I'm like, what? If that doesn't wake us up to start protesting about this big drama show that's going on with Ukraine and Biden's family and all the money that's being made, then we need to be ashamed of ourselves if we don't wake up, because it's getting to be a little ridiculous. And then more people are going to be dying. If they allow our soldiers to go to Ukraine to fight this crazy drama show that the military-industrial complex is operating, we are crazy, and all of us need to be spanked by the universe. You understand? So anyway, back to social, and what does social capital have to do with it? This is our focus as United Spirits. We, on this, especially on the Female Solution, Soul Purpose Healing, every day we have very conscious women hosting the Female Solution to bring you information to shift the war mind, the warmongering, to shift the lies about that our government puts out, the sick care system. Female Solution is here to shift your focus from the lies and the deception and the confusion to one of building a new social capital system. And Mama Z, each one of us has an opportunity every day to build social capital, because the universe puts in our midst people who we can connect with. Just like on those airplanes, those two airplanes, I met people I connected with just by opening up my heart, my ears, my mind to have a conversation with these strangers that I didn't know before. But just by being willing to talk to these people, hear these people, what are their needs, then I was able to send out love and what they needed, which was energy, listening, hearing, responding, conversation, communication. That's what building social capital is about. The people that I'm in strong social capital relationships with are not Christians. No, they're not. Most of them are of other faith, other beliefs, but they have built their own power structure, whether financially or in other ways, that has brought me into the midst. And that happens for each one of us. Each one of us, if we're listening and paying attention, we can connect to people who are ready to bring us into their network of power and structure to change the planet. I agree.
I'm listening to you, Dr. V. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but however, I agree. I'm just kind of like not mobile like I'd like to be, but it's coming. It's coming. So thank us. Yes.
Yes. I know how you operate. And by the way, you know, I was on this land in Costa Rica with all these. I thought of you. I hope you saw my video that I made of all the godfathers.
Yes, I did. Whoa. Totally orgasmic. Whoa. Yes, I did. I saved it.
You know, Mom AZ, because I know you, because you've talked about the Godfathers, because you've shared your journey with the Godfathers, I was empowered in my connection to speak to the owner of this property about his rocks and how beautiful they were and encourage him and inspire. Yeah, this is awesome. The energy is here. It's awesome because you've got all these rocks. His whole focus in landscaping is rocks, and the power of those rocks is very strong because of Mama AZ's connection over the years that she shared with us and her experience. So that's social capital, too, that we are more and more aware of our environment and the power in each environment that we are in or visiting. And then we share that with the people who are building these environments, and then we get to partake of that because we're listening, because we're sharing, because we're showing love. So I believe, Mom, thank you, Mama AZ, for being there for
Dr. V, I need to say one, you just gave me the information to segue in. I'm going to post my video that talks about my journey to Art's Land, to Mothers for the Earth, taking the Godfathers up there. You just gave me the courage to move forward with posting it on the 7th. So family, look for Mama Bonfires with David Peace is the guy, the gentleman who orchestrated this. It was years ago, but it's still very relevant, and it'll give you a little bit of look into my world of Mama AZ and the Godfathers. Thank us.
That's exciting. Thank us indeed. So we'll be back. Naima Latif, your mic is open whenever you're ready to take us to the next.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
If you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant, our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of ourselves, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self-care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
And we're back. Thank you, Naima, for your support. And thank you all who are listening in and coming to us tonight to develop the power of social capital. So we started out earlier with a beautiful sister talking about building relationships and associations, and we heard from a young foster care, former foster care person, sharing about social capital being part of the solution for foster care, developing mentorships. I had no idea 500,000 are in foster care, and that number is probably low when you look at the statistics today and the date of that audio. 500,000 in foster care. I was at first very sad to listen to his story, his information, but I realized that the Creator is not asleep, and all of these things are happening for our good. 2023 is the year to shift all of these things that we're unhappy about, to shift all these things that make us sad, like listening to 500,000 people in foster care. And social capital is one solution to direct more love to these children who have chosen this journey. We don't like to think of everybody getting what they deserve, but the journey is purposeful when we consciously look at why these people experience it, so that they can share that with us and we can wake the F up. Because if we didn't have all these sad stories, many of us would just go on about our selfish, egotistical, narcissistic ways. But hearing these stories like this from these foster care children or abused children or rape victims, all that, it gives us an opportunity to shift our thinking, shift our heart-centered activity to those who are suffering, and more important, to come up with solutions. So we're here tonight to offer the solution of social capital, where we focus on relationship development at every opportunity. When you meet people, look at it as an opportunity to develop social capital. So we have one more audio I want to share with you about how we do that and the experience that people have who are teaching about social capital. Now, this is a woman named Jenny Luke going to share her experience.
So, our country is filled with people who are talented and hardworking, but whose perspectives and capabilities are not utilized. It's a tragic loss of human potential. If we want to make an inclusive future, the great news is that we can do it and that everyone can play a part. I'm going to tell you the story of Stephanie. So Stephanie is the one on the right in the orange T-shirt. This is her back in high school. And I have the privilege of speaking to you today, so I'm going to try to do her story justice. Stephanie is a bright young woman. She's really excited about her future. She grew up in a Spanish-speaking home in South Central Los Angeles in the 1990s, which she remembers as a really bustling time for gangs, drugs, and violence. Stephanie describes her parents as the most hardworking people she has ever known. They really pushed her to work hard and pursue her education, not understanding or knowing themselves really what the process was, but knowing that that's why they came to the United States in the first place. So Stephanie, when she was going to high school, her goal was to graduate and go to college. She would be the first in her family and one of the only people in her extended family and neighborhood to do so. So when Stephanie got to high school, she was incredibly active in her community. She loved reading and writing. She worked hard and wanted to achieve. She surrounded herself with hardworking people who were like-minded and who supported one another in achieving their goals. So Stephanie did graduate high school with honors. She then graduated from the University of San Francisco, also with honors, with a major in politics and minors in legal studies and Chinese. And if anyone's counting, that makes her trilingual, Spanish, English, Chinese, pretty impressive. Not pictured here, her incredibly proud parents. Stephanie today is a young professional. She is working at one of the top entertainment companies in the world. She is in an industry that has incredible influence over how we all see ourselves and each other, and her perspective is desperately needed. I can't wait to see what she does next. So how did Stephanie go from being somebody who's the first in her family to graduate high school to an industry that she really hadn't even considered before that has now kind of turned out to be her dream job? Stephanie very intentionally expanded and leveraged her social capital. Capital is resources, money being the most well-known. Human capital is really the resources that are made up of your innate talents as well as the knowledge and skills that you build over time. Social capital is made up of resources from your social relationships, so things like information, influence, and social credentials. Stephanie already had social capital. She had incredible family, so much support from her parents to achieve her goals. She had really strong social bonds in her neighborhood. But she needed additional capital, additional social capital, that was not available in her immediate community to help her pursue her aspirations. She needed people who could provide her with information on going to college, inspire her to check out careers that she hadn't thought of, and also to treat her like a professional peer. So Stephanie, in her high school, she was introduced to our after-school and mentoring program where she strengthened her social and emotional skills and further developed her confidence so that she could, you know, really confidently communicate the aspirations and ask for help. And she worked with mentors who really recognized her strengths and opened their social capital to her to give her resources that she really needed to achieve her goals. And as Stephanie says, some of her mentors, like Stacy, Maya, Jamie, Tal, Mataji, Angie, Veronica, Tanya, Pierre, and many, many others, they did a really simple thing. They introduced her to people with careers that were not minimum wage labor jobs. Stephanie dipped into this well of information and influence that was available to her, and she was able to interview for a job at the company where she now works. Her mentor worked with her and coached her and prepared her for that interview so she'd have every opportunity to get it. Obviously, she got the job. She performed really well and within 2 years got a promotion. And when her boss asked her, you know, hey, we need to fill this job, that your former role, so who do you know? Who do you think she went to? She went to the young women that were a part of her community who grew up with the same work ethic and the same drive and aspirations that she had. Because Stephanie's social capital isn't just hers. It enhances the resources available to her entire social network. So what does all of this mean for making an inclusive future? There are thousands of young people like Stephanie who are doing the hard work, who have big dreams, and who really deserve every opportunity to share their unique gifts with the world. It really is up to all of us. We all have social capital, and there are so many opportunities out there in the world for us to choose to use it with greater wisdom and purpose. Everyone has a part to play. So if you saw yourself as the mentors in Stephanie's story, the part that you can play is by opening doors and advocating on behalf of young people of color from under-resourced communities whose really their value is often overlooked. If you see yourself as the school in Stephanie's story, you have a part to play by collaborating with mentoring organizations that can connect your students with the social capital they say they need but may not have access to. If you see yourself as the employer in Stephanie's story, the part that you can play is by looking at your employment pipelines. Who are you hiring and where are you going to get those people? Broadening that reach and considering points of view and life experiences that really can add value to your company and to your industry. And if you saw yourself as Stephanie in this scenario, then you really owe it to yourself and to the rest of us to stand up and say, I have dreams, I have goals, I'm going to work really hard, I need some backup, and I need some bridges. And I hope that you do give voice to your goals and dreams, and do it with the full knowledge that it is all of our responsibility to work as hard as you do to make an inclusive future where we recognize everyone's talents. Making an inclusive future, everyone has a part in it. Thank you.
So I hope that we are all coming to understand, overstand what it means for us to be working to develop social capital. If you're just joining us, then I'm going to play one more audio because we're really driving home the idea of, first of all, overstanding what it is, the definition, what's involved. And we had Brother Eddie Harris bring in all these number fives to confirm, affirm that the universe is speaking this language tonight for us to come together in titles and fellowship, love, peace, guidance, obedience, teacher, God's will, confusion, flow in the knowledge of building relationships. So this last audio before we go to our last break is about building social capital in a way that we are very clear what our goal is, what our focus is, and how we can get there. It's so important in 2023 that we work in harmony with the universe to manifest all the good we need. No more war, no more confusion. We want to build now a better future with peace, love, harmony.
Social capital, defined by political scientist Robert Putnam, is social networks and their corresponding values and norms of reciprocity. Simply put, social capital is about the idea, just as other forms of capital have value, that social connections have value to people and communities that possess them. Another term I'll be using a lot today is urbanization. Simply put, urbanization is just the idea of people moving from rural to urban settings. The pace of movement to cities today over the last 50 years has been staggering. In fact, over 165,000 people a day move from rural to urban areas. While urbanization has done a lot of good things for us, I ask the question, what have we sacrificed for this urbanization success? I argue that one of the biggest costs of urbanization is a decline in social capital. Robert Putnam, in his very famous book, Bowling Alone, studied social capital declines in America over four decades. He found declines in dozens and dozens of variables related to social capital, including declines in voluntary associations, card playing, family dinners, people having dinners with their friends, spontaneous interactions, and most troubling, he found declines in generalized trust, which is our overall trust in one another. Putnam partially blamed the declines in social capital on suburbanization. Troubled by these findings, Putnam argued that social capital and the trust it engenders is an essential aspect of our communities, and went so far as to say that social capital is the glue that holds the fabric of society together. There are a number of studies that also point to the importance of social capital. One such study was conducted by Bronnie Ware, a hospice nurse who asked her patients when they were at the end of their lives what had been their top, their biggest regrets in their life. She compiled a list of the most five common regrets that people had when they were dying. Amazingly, two of the top five regrets were directly related to social capital. The number four most common regret was wishing that they had stayed in touch with their friends and not let golden relationships slip away. The number two most common regret was that they hadn't worked so hard, that they wished they hadn't worked so hard and they had spent more time with their children and families. This was true of all men in the study. There wasn't a single man that didn't have this regret. For those of you who are curious, the number one regret, even though it's not related to social capital, was a feeling that they wished they had had the courage to live a life true to themselves and not what expected of them by others. Another study that looked at social capital and its importance in society was the Grant Study. This study is very recent. It looked at 268 Harvard University males over a 75-year period. Using this data, Dr. Valiant wanted to find out what the formula for a happy life was. So he poured through 75 years of data and dozens of variables and found that only one variable consistently pointed to a happy life for subjects in the study. That variable was having warm relationships with others. Later, he condensed this into the simple idea that happiness is love, period. Other studies also point to the benefits of social capital over the lifetime. These studies suggest that social capital is beneficial for people, those who have more social capital, have better child health, have more academic success, are more likely to find a job, and are more likely to be successful once they do find a job. Overall, these studies by Ware, Valiant, and others point to the immense importance of social capital in our lives. Recently, in reading The Clan of the K-Bear with my daughter, it dawned on me that hunter-gatherers never lacked spontaneous interactions. They never regretted not keeping in touch with their friends, and they never regretted working too hard and neglecting their children and families. They had very different lives than ours. On average, hunter-gatherers worked 2 to 5 hours a day and spent the rest of their time on pursuits such as carving, painting, dancing, and socializing. It sounds pretty good, right? Contrast this with modern humans. We work 8+ hours a day and spend the rest of our free time watching TV or spend most of our free time watching TV or going online. We also sometimes do what Sherry Turkle calls being alone together, which is going online and using applications such as Facebook, Twitter, or Tumblr. I love this idea of being alone together because it really makes sense that we're, even though we're together, we're still alone in our houses on these social medias. So it's interesting, studies show that online connections do not engender the same level of trust, and they also do not provide the feelings of support for people that have them. So they're very different than face-to-face interactions. More and more, there's a feeling that society is lacking something when it comes to the quality of our social lives. So what is the solution to declining social capital? I argue that it is not urbanization itself that is to blame for declining social capital, but poorly designed urbanization, which this is. So let me just do a quick story highlighting how it is that I became interested in social capital and its relationship to the built environment. When I graduated college, I had the opportunity to live in Madrid, Spain, which was amazing. I learned three very important lessons during this time. The first lesson I learned was that the game of football, or what we call soccer here, is much more interesting than I had been led to believe when I was growing up in the United States. If you don't know football in Spain, you can't talk to anybody. The second thing I learned, that trying to date while you're living with your Spanish grandmother is really not a good idea. And the third thing I learned is the true meaning of the word social capital. I lived in a community outside of Madrid called Puerto Hierro. This community, I very quickly began to realize, was different than anything else I had ever been in. All of the neighbors seemed to know each other's names. There were probably 1,200 people in this community. They all knew one another pretty personally. They often interacted spontaneously. And most importantly, they supported one another in things like carrying groceries for an elderly grandmother or helping somebody watch their child if they had to go to the grocery store or giving advice on dating or work or hobbies, anything like that. In this community, I felt supported like I never had before. When I started graduate school, I stumbled across a solution to this problem of declining social capital, the new urbanism. And at the time, I didn't even know it was a problem. So the new urbanism proposes that the built environment can be used to create social interaction and social capital. So just some examples here. A front porch. This is mixed-use zoning here. It's a picture of what I call mixed-use zoning, mixed housing. And then this is a picture of backloaded garages. You probably don't know what that means, but it means having the garage in the back of the house rather than the front, which sounds stupid, but I'll explain to you later why that's actually a good idea. So I'm just going to kind of explain a little bit about some of these pictures. The idea behind mixed-use zoning is that when you have, like, modern-day developers, you put the commercial over here and the residential over here, and you put the industry over here. And the idea with new urbanism is let's bring some of this stuff back into our neighborhoods, especially the amenities that we use a lot. So why don't we bring back a local market? Let's bring back maybe a yoga studio, a cafe, things that people might want to use on a daily basis. The thing that happens when you bring this back into the neighborhood is that people walk more in their neighborhoods, and it creates a place where people could interact in their community. Mixed housing is a little bit of a different idea, but it's saying instead of creating these suburbs with cookie-cutter houses where everybody's house looks exactly the same, if you're at a party at your neighbor's house, you don't need to ask where the bathroom is because you know where it is, right? So instead of cookie-cutter housing, let's create housing that looks different, that has, you know, bigger houses, smaller houses, granny flats, things like this, maybe some rental housing. The idea is that it allows different types of residents that have different needs to move into an area. So maybe you get some older folks that have one kind of need, some families with another kind of need. It makes a more diverse community. And then this idea of backloaded garages, when I first heard about it, it sounded stupid. But then when I went to a community that had these, it was really incredible that you look down the sidewalk and there's not a single curb cut in the entire sidewalk because nobody has to pull in to their garage. Anybody that has children knows that, you know, when they're on their Razor or their little skateboard and they're zooming down the sidewalk, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'm paranoid that someone's going to back out and run right into my daughters and it's not going to be a good sign, right? So when you create these backloaded garages, what happens is that you have sidewalks with no brakes on them and pedestrians can walk on the sidewalk without fearing for their life. It's much more relaxing. It's a much more pleasant experience. Overall, the idea of new urbanism is really that we should be building our communities based on pedestrians and pedestrians' needs rather than the needs of the automobile, which is what most communities are designed around. So that's really the major idea of new urbanism. So I'm just going to show you a couple of studies. I don't want to bore you guys with a bunch of details. I'm going to show you sort of a couple of studies that I've done and how this stuff is used in practice. So one study I looked at mixed-use zoning in a community that had mixed-use zoning in another community that didn't, and I found that mixed-use zoning actually brought people together in communities that normally don't come together and created all of these bridging connections that made the community much more interconnected and more cohesive than a similar community that didn't have the mixed-use zoning. Another study looking at mixed housing looked at if you have all of these different kinds of houses, the bigger, the smaller, do we get more diverse residents? And we find that definitely in terms of income, education, and especially age, you do find diversity. The one area you don't find diversity is race. All of these diverse communities are pretty white, but that's something that we're working on too. So you can see just really quickly that the mixed housing area, you've got real diversity of people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, even some in the 70s. If you look at the more traditional suburb down here, you see mostly people concentrated around the 30s, which is the, you know, sort of the family suburb where they're really trying to attract families. That's what a lot of suburbs try to do. Okay, and then lastly, I want to talk about something we're trying to do is see if whether the built environment can create social capital and whether or not it can create a shared community identity. So ways that you can do this with the built environment are using things like identifiable boundaries, signs, farmers markets, and public art. And the way this works is that with the identifiable boundaries and the banners, you let people know exactly where their community is. They know if they're in or out of the community. They can see if there's a fancy nickname for the community, something like that. Is it the South Side or the Iron Side or whatever it is? And then by having the farmers market, public art, you could even include things like the piano or the air guitar, right, in the community. What those things do is it allows people to emotionally connect to spaces in their community and therefore kind of creating this shared sense of community identity. This is an ongoing study, so I'll let you know if it works when we're done. So I'm hoping that I've convinced you of three things today. The first thing that I'm hoping to convince you of is that social capital has declined in our communities. And second, that we should be really troubled by this decline, as social capital is one of the most essential things to a healthy community. Lastly, I hope to have convinced you that the built environment, if smartly designed, can be used to create social capital in our neighborhoods and communities. Thank you.
So we're building healthier communities. We are very, very focused in the female solution to uplift our neighbors and connect with our neighbors and our families more and more and more, because as he said, there's been a decline of social capital in all communities. And even though this man was basically speaking from Spain, I believe, these are the opportunities where we can learn about different cultures, different environments, different communities that will help our own community. What are people doing in other communities that we can do in our own families and communities to build healthier places? So we have one more break to take, I believe. And Naima Latif, your mic is open. So whenever you're ready, we can go to the next commercial. And we'll be right back with your thoughts on social capital. How is it working in your life? Are you improving your social capital? Is it non-existent? We want to hear from you.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul, whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
We are back. Thank you so much for joining me this evening. I know there are lots of things you could be doing, like sleeping or watching television or being on social media, but the, your presence here is felt by the universe and by all of us united spirits. And Naima Latif made a very relevant comment about this man who spoke about garages in the back. And I did, in fact, live in Chicago for 17 years of my life. And that's how she says her neighborhood is. The children and adults socialize so much easier. We played up and down the street all day without fear of getting hit by a car. So true, so true. And I remember several relatives who had their garages in the back on the alley. They called it on the alley. But it really is something to consider when we're building new neighborhoods. Don't put the garages in the front, which doesn't happen much in Florida at all. And tomorrow morning, please join Zelda, our Monday morning host, for Women Making a Difference on Monday Morning Mindfulness. I believe March is her story month. So we'll be talking more and more about the contributions that women have made in our society, in our countries, or Earth. And I want to encourage you all to spend more time learning about people of different cultures. This is the key to developing social capital that can benefit you and maybe even help you have a free trip to another country or another land. And my journey started when death, it's interesting to me how death brings people together on a long-term basis. And I have two events that happen where I develop long-term friendships because of the death of people in my life. Number one, my sister's death occurred in 2005, and her hospice nurse and I are very good friends to this day. We became close, and this woman developed bladder cancer, actually. So I was with her on that journey after my sister's transition. Her hospice nurse developed bladder cancer. We met many times after, which she was just an awesome, awesome person with the transition for my sister. So we became very close friends. And I saw her for the first time in a year or two because she moved to Kentucky, but she came back. And we spent the whole day on the beach here in Florida just getting caught up. Social capital, because she owns her own house in Kentucky. She's selling that house to move back to Florida. And just the friendship that she and I have. Our religious beliefs are very different, but our health and political beliefs are the same. So we can talk about, if we can find different or similarities with those people whose religious might or beliefs might be different, or even their family life that might be different, that's where social capital starts to build, where we find common ground with the people in our lives who have a heart to serve, a heart to love, a heart to share, a heart to teach wisdom. So I think I have a caller, let's see, in the studio. Let me open up the mic to 708-602. Your mic is open. Welcome.
Greetings, 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 Sister Viata.
Are you fine?
I had to, my other phone was dying, so I had to come to this other line.
Well, thank you. Back on another line. Hey, we like that idea.
But right quick, I just wanted to touch on and connect the dots to some of the five that has been mentioned and other fives that we are in, because understanding that we are truly helpers, and helpers are 32, which is the five, and we are the keepers, 32, being the teacher, 32, with the message from a messenger. We are the messenger, just as our children are messengers. The messenger is 41. But Mother AZ came in and was talking about Phoenix, Arizona. Phoenix is 25, Arizona 16. 25 plus 16 is 41 to 5. And you mentioned, and one of the links mentioned mentorship, which is also 41. You just mentioned manifest 32 to 5. And this is the echoes of the dreamers. Dreamers 32 to 5. Then let's not forget what is talked about, the foster care. Well, care is 14 and foster is 31. 31 is the children, 31, that we should truly be caring about, because the care is unconditional love. Foster care, unconditional love. And we see, as we're talking, that's not being done with these children who are in someone else's custody, care, so-called, and they're not being cared for. So at the end of the day, 23 is called share. We're just sharing information with one another, family. And I'm going to end on that because, again, being the observers that we are, observation is 41. We're no more than the watchers that watches everything. Watches is 32. So as long as we are self-understanding, which is 5, or self-overstanding, which is 5, is our own interpretation that we are dealing with. But it's, again, at the end of the day, the 5 is called the joyful noise, family. The noise is the sound. It's a joyful sound that we're bringing. So bring that sound of joy so we all can enjoy. And by the way, enjoy is 14, which is 5. Love you, family.
Wow, that's beautiful. We love it. And joy is one of the highest vibrations in our map of consciousness. Joy and peace and love are high energy that will prevent disease if we stay in those higher emotions. So thank you so much, Brother Eddie Harris, for just bringing the icing on the cake for tonight, as usual. Why? Because numbers are the language of the universe. Just think about your cell phone. How would people connect with you without numbers? It wouldn't happen. So numbers, when we have Brother Eddie share such powerful wisdom about the numbers, it's saying to us that we're on the right path. Collectively, we're in unity. We're moving forward. And each time you show up with it on Sunday night or Monday morning, Monday through Saturday morning with Female Solutions, the numbers are there if we're paying attention. And we can really change this planet. We are changing. It's not that we can't. We are changing this planet. And I'm excited to be a part of this change agent that's going on. Mama AC, your mic is open again. I think I saw your hand go up again.
Thank us. And I'd like to segue in on Brother Harris and say to the whole family, I am grateful. The social capital that is necessary for me to continue, it's coming. However, I give thanks to my family on the blog talk and the numbers guru for giving me brain functioning social capital. That's the way that I choose to say, you, family, you give me brain-functioning social capital. In other words, you keep me from going bonkers, and you give me food that is necessary to keep my brain activated. So I call it brain functioning social capital. I give thanks, Brother Eddie. I give thanks, Brother Kwame, wherever you are. And you, Dr. V, will be together in many lives
to come, I noticed. And I'm going to send you a video, Dr. V and Brother Eddie and Brother Kwame, that came to me that really, really jerked my chain. I'm going to post it on my Facebook page, and I don't know how people will receive it, but it really doesn't matter. And thank you for this show. I thank us for this Blog Talk show, because you have really given me some confirmations, Dr. V, with your bionic golden hatchet. That's all I can say. Thank us.
Peace. Well, before we do a little meditation, Mama AZ, you don't know how important it is to bring in the brain functioning social capital, because our mind is directed body. We often have, I often have people in my life where we often talk about how our body feels, the pain or the suffering, but the mind is the master computer. The mind is directing the things in the body. So if we're thinking sickness, if we're thinking I'm sick, I'm weak, then there's all this powerful scriptures that says, let the weak say I am strong. So your mind, your brain is the computer that says what your body can do, will do, and is doing. So thank you for bringing our memory, our mind, to brain functioning social capital. Having a relationship first and foremost with your mind, the power of your brain, and then connecting that relationship and ordering your microbiome community and your gut to do what it needs to do. Ordering this body, it doesn't take a short period. It's more of a long-term goal to have master over this body, but it can be done. And so bringing that out is kind of like priority for this mission that we're on, to have developed a powerful social capital. Put the mind first. Don't worry about what the body's doing as much as making sure your mind is in peace and your mind is powerful. Your mind is strong, and it's ordering your steps, not your body, or doing the reverse. So let's do a little meditation. Did you have another comment, Mama AZ, before we go to the meditation?
Just that I'm reaching out to the family to get me to the stronghold and hoist me down the mountain. I've already gotten my gurney ready and my ropes. I just need four strong people to put me on that gurney and trek me down into that mountain so that I could dig a big pit and bury myself so that I can earth. I'm very serious about that. And when I reach out to certain people here about it, they kind of run. like, oh, she is crazy. But there are somebody out there, and I know it. So I'm just putting it out there into the universe, family. That's all. That's it. Let's meditate.
Yes, we can agree to manifest exactly that for the purpose of what? Developing that social brain functioning social capital in your own mind that you can overcome anything. So let us just do some breathing in and out to earth my body, water my blood, because this is a powerful computer that our soul lives in. This vessel our soul is dwelling in, traveling in, is so powerful, and we need to really tap into the power of it to overcome anything. Let's do it.
Earth my body, water my blood, air my breath and fire my spirit. Earth my body, water my blood, air my breath and fire my spirit.
clouds to the breeze. I carry fistfuls of bone. I trust they will lead me home. I carry grief on my wings. I know a caged bird. Through many turns of this moon, my women have suffered wounds. But my grandmother is with me. Close your eyes, can't you see? And my grandchildren are here. The rose, the crow, and the deer. I am surrounded by light, the light of stories. I need to quiet my mind, I need to listen. We are surrounded by light, the light of stories. We need to quiet our minds. Earth, my body, water, my body, air, my breath, and fire, my spirit. Earth, my body, water, my spirit. Earth, my body, earth, my body, water, my life. Air, my breath, and fire, my spirit.
And so it is. Muchas gracias. Thank you. We now say have a great week, everybody. Stay woke and develop your social capital. And we'll see you tomorrow morning with Zelda doing some breath work and helping us stay positive all Monday. No negativity on Monday when you start off your morning with my sister Zelda. So thank you all for being here. Share this with those who might benefit. And have a great week.
We've come to the end of our show today. But you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Xiexie. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jerez. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia. Shukran.
Shukran.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
iyoga.com. Love you. Have a beautiful week.